Father God, we come before you this morning with grateful hearts. We thank you that we've had the opportunity to come together this weekend with our fellow alumni to celebrate the history of ISBVI. And Lord, as we pause to remember, Father God, our members who have passed since the time of our last convention, I pray that you will be with all of their family, friends, and loved ones who are still struggling to deal with that loss. And I pray, Lord God, that you'll be with us. Your word says that wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, there you will be in the midst of them. So I pray that you'll be with us this morning, Lord, as we lift you up and give you all glory, honor, and praise. And I pray that you'll be with each and every person leaving this convention today and help them to safely make their way home, whether they come from near or far. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, who gets this?
Probably be me, I guess. Oh, sorry. Oof, can't even walk.
Hi, my name is Dina Polston, class of 1981. If anyone knows the song, Come Now Is the Time to Worship, we will do that.
With a brown note.
Now is the time to worship. Come. Now is the time to give your hearts. Come. Just as you are to worship. Come. Just as you are before your God, come.
Well, that was lovely, everybody. The next one is, Lord, I lift your name on high. Who knows?
Save us. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Okay, now we're going to rock it. We're getting ready to do I'll Fly Away. If anybody wants to come up here and sing with me, you're more than welcome, because some of these are a little high. I would like to thank Sue Holverson and Carol Seifert for accompanying today. All right, we're going to rock this thing out. Come on with it.
Are you ready?
Yes. Yeah. Ooh, that's might be a little high.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away in the morning to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, oh, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh, glory. I'll fly away in the morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have Mr. Bill Levy, who would like to do something special for us today.
Everybody knows me, Bill Levy, a class of 60. And I thought, since this was the actual 60th anniversary of the class of 59, and I'd be my 60th next year, the school octet, which we were together for a few years, I thought it'd be fitting, since May 15th of this year was the 60th anniversary of the 59 class graduation, which broke up the octet. So I thought I'd play one song called Build Thee More Stately Mansions. And I will tell you, the people who are on it would be John Lovelace. He is the first soloist. Myself as bass. Kenneth Northup, class of 59. Darrell Wiley, class of 59, deceased. Katie Houchin-Enfield. Carol Heine Rose were alto, and sopranos were Sharon Barrett Ackley and Claudette Thomas Levy, who was my wife. And so I thought it would be appropriate just to play it in memory of them. Okay.
Bye.
This song playing right here, in case someone wants to know, was written by one of the former students of the ISB, Forrest Goodenough. Graduated in like 1945. Here we go. Thing I forgot to add to this, the piano player. Excuse me. Just a second. The piano player was Mabel C. Livy, the head of the music department at that time. Harriet C. Minor was a music teacher, played the organ. I thought I'd put that on for memory for anybody listening that was from back then.
Thank you, Bill. I really appreciate you sharing that. I'm up here to share with you And I'm Deanne Hart, for those of you who don't recognize my name, or my voice, I should say. I'm up here to share with you the names of those who have passed away since our last convention in 2017. Unfortunately, Claudette Thomas Levy was one of the first, and so I know this is a nostalgic time for Bill, and I appreciate him having the courage to share what he shared today. My list is in alphabetical order by their last name. Most of them, if they're female, it was by their maiden name, so this is not in chronological order when I go through this. And I'll go through the names and give the class the year they graduated. David Yatkins, he was a non-graduate. I don't have which year he graduated. Elena Baldwin left school in 2004-2005. Charles Herman Bennett is a non-graduate. Denny Bowers, 1988. Don Chandler is 1995. Lowell Conley, 1949. Robert Cox, 1967. Rebecca Wardwell Cummins, and I didn't have a year down there. 72, okay. Christopher Gallagher, 2005. Jacob Gooding was mentioned last time, but it was kind of questionable as to which year that was, so I included it. He passed away in 2012. James Hammond, 1967. Gladys Norvell Jones was from, she was a teacher, and she died at the age of 97. Claudetta Thomas Levy, 1959 graduate. Clifford Neese, a 1968 graduate. Eddie Humphman, Edie Huffman, honorary member and a very good friend of our organization. Ron Rose, husband of Carol Heine Rose. Odell Taylor, 1945. Stephen Wardwell, 1970. Beverly Zook, and I didn't get a graduating year on that. Julia Carol Rice Bliss, 1957. Now, did I miss anyone? Who? Oh, Lincoln Richard, yes. Yes. So, all right. Thank you. Who's next? Dina.
Now, this is a hard one to sing, so I don't know what key to do How Great Thou Art in. How Great Thou Art's next, so. I don't know. It's always so high, so. Whew.
Ladies and gentlemen, next up is How Great Thou Art.
How great thou art.
scarce can take it in, that on that cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior,
before we get to the message, is what a friend we have in Jesus. I tried to mix up the old with the new, so there'll be some newer songs after this one, but I thought we'd enjoy the variety, so hope you all are enjoying the music. Thank you so much, ladies. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to call up Chris Hollingsworth, who will give us our message for the day.
Hi.
Hi.
She's done with you for a few minutes. Yes, we're going to do it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody this morning. It's a really good turnout for a Sunday morning gathering. I am so pleased. Well, I'm Chris Hollingsworth. I graduated in the class of 1982, and we're going to take a short, sweet look at one of my favorite stories in the Bible. God has a really good sense of humor, and that's what makes this one of my favorite stories. We're going to go through it, and we're going to talk a little bit about it as we read through the passage. So we're looking at Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 12 this morning. It starts out saying, "On the first day of the week, we assembled to break bread. Paul spoke to them, and since he was about to depart the next day, he extended his message until midnight." There's a couple of things here. You know, this is really the first occasion in the Bible where we have Christians meeting on Sunday instead of on Saturday. Sunday was the beginning of the redemption process. That's the day our Lord rose from the grave and provided a way for us to escape death and have an eternal life. So they were meeting on a Sunday. And, you know, when I thought about it, it says he preached until midnight. They had dinner, and then he preached. You know, this is the Apostle Paul. He's getting ready to leave. Probably the greatest preacher ever. So people were willing to stay and listen to him. I know I wouldn't. I'm sure he had a lot to say. It's picking up in verse 8. "There were many lamps in the room upstairs where we were assembled." So that kind of sets the tone for the rest of the story. They had just eaten dinner. It's late at night. They got a full tummy. They got the soft glow of lamps going. So what do you think is going to happen next?
Sleep.
It's nap time. Exactly. "And a young man named Eutychus was sitting on the windowsill." Nice night. They got the window open. It's the Apostle Paul, crowded room. So he's sitting on a windowsill and sank into a deep sleep as Paul kept on speaking. "When he was overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story and was picked up dead." You know, he's really dead here. It doesn't say he seemed dead. He's dead. This book was written by a doctor. If anybody should know if he's dead, Luke should know. But that brings up a point. You know, when we go to church on Sunday morning, aren't you glad you have a nice soft pew to sleep in instead of a third story window to fall out of? But notice here that he was picked up. You know, this is significant because it indicates action. These people didn't run to the window and look out the window to see what had happened, because the window is just an opportunity to see. It's a place of observation. They ran to the door, and they went and they picked him up. You know, a door is an opportunity. That's an opportunity for these people to serve. And they opened that door, and they took that opportunity, and they went and they picked him up. Even Paul went. You know, it says, "But Paul went down, fell on him, embraced him, and said, 'Don't be alarmed, for his life is in him.'" You know, they took action. God presented an opportunity, and they took that opportunity. And that's the same thing that we should do all the time. You know, we have a church meeting here. The church at this moment ceased going to church and began to act like a church. They saw a need, and they took action. You know, it would have been easy, because we have Paul performing a miracle here and bringing life back to Eutychus. It would have been just as easy for Paul to stand up and say, "Eutychus, get back up here. Where do you think you're going?" But no, he went and he ministered to Eutychus where he was. He met him where he was. He wrapped his loving arms around him. He provided comfort to those that were around him, and he provided life. You know, and when I teach it at my home church, a lot of times I talk about the difference of moving from a physical way of thinking into a spiritual way of thinking. And that entails application. When we read this story, we think it's a great story, and I love this story. God's got a great sense of humor because we're talking about a guy falling asleep during church and falling out the window. But the application here is what we have to reach for. James 1:22 tells us, be doers of the word, not hearers only. You know, these people put that into action. We have an eyewitness account of a physical situation. But in order to apply this to our lives, we have to start thinking about this in a spiritual way. What can this story represent? So let's go. Follow me on this just a little bit. The gospel of Jesus is that we're all sinners, dead in our trespasses. You know, God is holy, and he cannot abide with us if we are still stained by sin. Romans 5:8 tells us, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for people that hadn't accepted his gift, people that hadn't started to love him yet. You know, he died for all of us because he loved us. He was without sin, and he paid the price, the penalty for our sins. His blood washed away those stains so that we could have the gift of eternal life and spend eternally with God, the Father in heaven. So Eutychus represents those who are dead in their sins. And they need to hear the gospel. They need to be ministered to where they're at. You know, instead of watching them wallow in death, as Christians do sometimes, we just pass by people and let them go. We have a duty. Jesus, before he left in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, gave us a great commission. We're supposed to make disciples of all nations and all peoples. We have that duty. You know, we have to share the love of Jesus and lead these people, teach them the truth. We can't make them accept it, but we can sure give it to them and let it work on them. You know, Isaiah tells us that the word of God never comes back void. We have to put it out there and let it steep in their hearts. You know, and they need that truth so that they might be restored as Eutychus was. Verse 11 says, after going upstairs, breaking bread and eating, Paul conversed a considerable time until dawn, and then he left. They brought the boy home alive and were greatly comforted. You know, I think it's significant that they go back upstairs and break bread here, because breaking bread is the same image we see in 1 Corinthians when we are taking the Lord's Supper. You know, this is the signification of Jesus' body and the sacrifice he made. It was broken for us to pay our sins. So it's interesting to me that Paul chose that. So Paul and the church at Troas shared these things, and they restored Eutychus to life. You know, we need to do the same thing, being directed by Christ to share the gospel and show our love to people. That's our duty. That's the application of this story. It's a wonderful story, but we still have that responsibility of sharing that Jesus loved us enough to go to the cross and wash away our sins and the stains that we have from that, so that we can be free and have an eternal life in heaven. Let's pray. Precious Father, I thank you for everybody that came today, Father, and they're here. And they're here in this room this morning because they love you and they want to glorify you and praise you. And that's one of the things that we are led to do. Father, help us as we gather together and as we separate and go our ways, to be mindful of your words and your lessons, and help us to do your great commission and spread your gospel every day. And Father, we ask that all these people have a safe trip home and are continued to bless throughout their lives. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Let's see.
So now we're going to do Amazing Grace. My chains are gone. We're going to do Amazing Grace. My chains are gone, if anybody knows that. Right now, we'd like to begin say the Lord's Prayer, please. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our last song before our benediction is How Great is Our God. Either one of you know this one? Thank you.
I think so. I hope so. The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing how great is our God. My heart will sing, how great is our God.
All right. We can if you want to.
No, I didn't have that.
Okay. Well.
Something I'd like to say, if I may, real quick. You know, when we said the Lord's Prayer
here
a while
go,
ago.
Here we go.
Thank you. You know what we said the Lord's Prayer a while ago? We said, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If you read in the book of Mark, chapter 11, everybody knows and everybody really concentrates on Mark 11, 22 and 23, which says, If you say to this mountain, Be thou removed and cast into the sea, and not doubt in your heart, those things that you ask for, you shall have the things that you desire. Now that's Jesus speaking. And if you don't doubt, you shall receive. But what I'm getting at, verse 24 talks about if you don't forgive others who have wronged you, people who have said things, and maybe you're guilty, we must have a spirit of forgiveness. And it just, the Lord laid it upon my heart. And I don't know if it pertains to anybody in here or not. Maybe you have something that against somebody in here, but there's things that you have to let them go. You must forgive. Because Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, then my Father in heaven will not forgive you. Thank you and God bless.
So now we're coming to the close of our service. How about a hand for Chris and the accompanist, Mike, Bill, Dee. So here's our benediction. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you today with humble and grateful hearts. We just ask that you would be with the rest of the proceedings of this convention, Lord. We thank you for the last 2 years of officers who've worked so hard to provide such a good experience for us here and the opportunities to get together.
We just ask that you bless each and every person here. We ask that you bless people who have lost their loved ones and husbands and families and wives and sisters, brothers, all the people that have gone before, some very recently. And Lord, we just ask you to comfort them. And we just ask your blessings for a peaceful and wonderful journey on the way home and wonderful memories that you've given us of such a good time to be together. And we just ask this all in your holy, precious, and wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above all names. Amen. Amen.